Welcome to the Compass Christian Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit us at compasslew.org.
Thank you, Dave. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Certainly a blessing to be able to be up here in front of you, sharing some of these things that I've seen and that we're going to be seeing out of the book of Acts. Imagine that you have been given a task, a job, an assignment, as it were, to do, to carry out. What are some of the things you're going to need to know, to keep in mind? Well, I would think, first of all, you have to have a clear understanding of what the objective is. Where are you going? You also need thorough instructions on how to get there. You have to have a clear understanding how to get there, preferably by someone in the know. You also need adequate materials or equipment or supplies to do the job. You also need skills, perhaps. In some jobs, you need certain skills to carry that out. But one of the big things that's true, no matter what it is you have to have the willingness or the desire to carry out that task. Perhaps this task is an individual task, or perhaps it's something part of a larger group, or, you know, perhaps something like a sports team, for instance, or a military unit, or a business organization. So in that type of situation, you're one member, but you're part of a larger group that's carrying out the same mission. So I've got let's narrow this down even further, a hypothetical. Let's say you have a small but growing Christian church. Let's just say it's in Louisville. And as part of this church, let's say that you, perhaps you have a worship team, let's say. It's hypothetical. And let's say as one of the members of this worship team plays guitar. And let's call this guitar player Dave. And let's say Dave has been playing guitar a long time, perhaps since he was, 15 years old. And that means he's been playing guitar for, let's say, 20 years, 25 years, maybe. So let's say this Dave has the skills required to play the guitar. He's practiced perhaps a few times throughout his life. Let's say he's prepared to do what he needs to do, let's say, up front. Let's say he has sheet music. Maybe that's one of the supplies. Let's say he's has the guitar. And all the guitar, has all the six strings on it that it's supposed to. And they're probably tuned the right way. Let's say he has a pick. Let's say he has the microphone, the PA system that he needs. So all these things are part of this, helping him to get to his goal, which is to play guitar as part of this worship team that sings and leads the congregation in their song worship. Let's say he actually does have the willingness to do these things. All these things come into him doing what his job is to play the guitar. So likewise, we have been called to be part of a team to carry out what God has called us to do. We, being believers, have been called to be part of a team. And we're going to see in this, as we go through these scriptures, that Jesus prepared his men. These men that trained with him. Jesus trained his disciples to carry out the same mission that he was on, especially the 12 apostles. In this picture up here, I have a representation of Jesus at the so-called Last Supper, the setting being this upper room, the very night that he was betrayed, the very night that he was taken, and he knew he was going to be taken that night. He knew that he was at the very end of this mission. And he wasn't done yet, but he knew he was getting close. Jesus trained these disciples, these men, to carry out the same mission that he was on. They lived and worked side by side him for at least a year, perhaps longer. He taught them in many varied situations to love God, to trust God, to obey God, to love and minister to God's people. So all these things Jesus was doing for this year plus time. They did these things with him. And here they are at the very end. And even in this situation, the Lord Jesus, he continues to teach, to encourage, and to warn them, to prepare them. The first verse we're going to see is in the Gospel of John. John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus tells them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." What kind of thoughts would have been going through your head if you were in that group of 12 that were sitting there with him? Perhaps others were there in the room too. But especially these 12, what kind of thoughts would have been going through your head? What? We're going to do the same works as you? Now, they had done this in little bits and pieces off and on. You remember he sent them out two by two at one point, and he told them, you know, preach the gospel, minister, heal, take out devil spirits. He told them this. So they went out and they did it, and they were successful, and they came back. That was for little chunks of time. But he was setting them up for a long-term journey. What kind of thoughts were going through their heads? Well, what enables a person to do the same and greater works than the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he prepared them for this. He taught them. Imagine, this is the Lord Jesus. He probably had a lot of things on his mind at this time. He knew that he was going to be, he knew from the Old Testament scriptures that he was going to be tortured. That he was going to be tortured to the point of death. He knew that he was going to die on a tree. He knew these things. And he knew that it was probably just hours away. And yet here he is still ministering, helping, preparing, getting these guys ready to carry out what God needed them to do in the days and weeks and months and years down the road. So what enables a person? Well, Jesus was given some answers. Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father," this is in 14 verse 16, "and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." The Lord Jesus is exposing them. And he'd done this previously, talking about Spirit and so on. But here he is, he's really honing in and really starting to focus these guys on what they're going to need to be successful. They understand the works that I do, you're going to do. So he's already set the mission before them. He's already set the objective, the goal. He's starting to further hone them and tell them how to achieve this. "These things I have," this is verse 25. Now, I'm not covering everything. If you read Gospel of John, chapter 14 through 16, even some of chapter 13, it shares a bunch of stuff that he taught and he did and he shared with them at this setting, the Last Supper, this meal, verse 25. "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." It's quite interesting. In this section here, Jesus is telling them, I see two things at least. He's going to teach. The Spirit has aspects of teaching. And this also has aspects of remembering, reminding, remembrance. I'll spit it out. So this helper that the Father will send, this Holy Spirit, is going to help them by reminding them and teaching them. So that would have been a comfort to them, would it not? If they heard this and they said, oh, okay, we're going to have a helper. We're not in this by ourselves. So the Lord God Almighty has this set up by way of the ministry of Jesus Christ to carry these things out. Well, Jesus didn't stop his teaching there. He goes on, but we know after this record, he ultimately was captured, ultimately was put on trial, ultimately died, tortured, and was dead in the grave. And then 3 days later, the Lord God Almighty raised him from the dead. The Father raised him from the dead. Praise God. Raised him from the dead. And then the Lord Jesus spent 40 days on this earth doing this, that, and the other. Some of the things he did are recorded in Scripture. The Day of Ascension. It's not an actual picture. This is AI. This is, you know, I'm thinking he's excited. The Lord Jesus, he's looking up going, all right. There's only 11 there. If anyone's ever messed with AI, trying to get them to narrow a number down from 12. And I told them AI 12, and it had 14 at one point, and 10 at another point. It's like, oh, come on. This is the best I could do. But anyways, at this particular setting, Jesus Christ is continuing to give further instructions to these men, these 12, these apostles, these faithful men. They love God. They love the Lord Jesus. They love God's people. They wanted to be of service to God. They wanted to carry out the works of Jesus Christ. They stuck with this, their Savior, their rabbi, this man Jesus. They stuck with him through thick and thin. Now, they weren't perfect. They did fall away, but then they came back. They were there. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, at the very end of Luke, it has this record of just moments before Jesus ascended. Jesus told them, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city, that would be Jerusalem, until you are clothed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany. Bethany, if you've read the scripture of the Gospels, it was a favorite place of his to hang out. He had friends there. I know Lazarus and Mary and Martha lived in Bethany. So he, for whatever reason, he loved that area. Led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, those men that were with him, they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God. So I thought this is interesting. These men, they didn't live in the temple, but they were there a lot. They were there blessing God, and I'm sure they were there sharing with one another the things that Jesus taught them, reminding themselves of what he taught them, looking on with anticipation for this event that Jesus said was going to be happening, that they were going to be clothed with power from on high. And even in the book of Acts in chapter 1, I think it's verse 8, but it talks about this even further. It says that they're going to be what Jesus tells them, that they're going to be witnesses unto him. Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the world. So here they are. So as we look back in Scripture, we know that they were there for 10 days in this area. That it was 10 days between the day of the ascension and this next day that we're going to take a look at. The setting, Feast of Pentecost. This is 50 days after Passover. Passover is the time that Jesus was killed. 50 days, you know, less than 2 months. This Feast of Pentecost happened every year. It's a one-day feast. It's one of the three great feasts that that Israel celebrated. Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Booths, which was at the end of the year. Pentecost was in the summertime, but it was a one-day feast. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, said, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And I'm going to share that I believe that it's talking about the 12. There's some people that maybe say that there's more there, but I believe it because at the very end of chapter 1, at the very end of it, it talks about, that's the record of where the Peter led the assembly, and they had to choose another apostle to replace Judas Iscariot. And they chose that man, Matthias. So that's the immediate record before this. And then it goes on and says they. That's why I think it's the 12. They were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So these four short verses here at the beginning of Acts chapter 2, it shares this initial outpouring of the gift of Holy Spirit upon mankind. I believe it started with these 12. But these 12, we're going to see soon, that expanded way beyond these 12. That was just the very tip of the iceberg right there. But it began there. And I believe this was something that God was looking forward to from the fall of man. Since Adam and Eve sinned and man fell, that God was looking forward to this. He had a plan in place that step by step by step, God was working his plan throughout the centuries, that culminated with Jesus Christ and his mission. And when his mission was completed, when he ascended to heaven, God's like, finally, I could bring this to pass, this day of Pentecost. In the ZIBBC, which I'm going to try to print, it's a Zondervan Illustrated Bible Backgrounds Commentary. Kind of a mouthful. Clinton Arnold shares these things, and I thought this was wonderful. He writes, "The Spirit is associated here with two symbols that often symbolize the manifestation of the presence of God. In Ezekiel's vision of the valley filled with dry bones, the life-giving breath of God comes as a wind and makes these dead bodies live again." That's recorded in Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. This prophecy is linked to the new covenant promise of the indwelling Spirit. Alluding to Ezekiel's vision, Jesus himself described the coming of the Holy Spirit as a wind. That's in John 3:8. During the period of the Exodus, God appeared to Moses as fire. When the Lord revealed himself to Moses the first time, it was in a burning bush. Exodus chapter 3. God called Moses to be his agent for rescuing the people of Israel from their bondage in Egypt and assured Moses of his enabling presence. After the Exodus, God appeared to Moses again on Mount Sinai. The Lord descended on it in fire and gave the law to Moses. That's in Exodus 19. With both the wind and the fire, Luke is careful to point out that the coming of the Spirit was like these two common natural phenomena. There was no actual wind or fire. If you remember in Acts chapter 2, it says, as of, or like, it's a simile. Violent wind and fire represent powerful forces, a divine wind bringing life, and fire from above suggests the empowering presence of God. The image of tongues is probably meant to convey both the miraculous speaking in other languages that the disciples were about to accomplish, as well as the ability the Spirit will provide to proclaim the gospel with power. So I thought that was pretty apt description of what happened that day. All right, pages sticking together. So on this day, there were a lot of people in this city of Jerusalem. It's estimated that the population of Jerusalem at the time of Christ is around 100,000, give or take. But at the time of these three major feasts, it would have swelled to over probably 1 million people. So if you can imagine, you know, 10 times the normal people were in that city. It was pretty crowded. I'm sure every little nook and cranny and every spare room in the city was taken, probably some tents here, there, and yonder around the city. I mean, it was just a big shindig. Verses 9 through 11 in Acts chapter 2 specify at least 14 areas or regions from which the people came to this, to Jerusalem. You remember it's, you know, talks about Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and so on. Libya, Cyrene, about 14 areas. I did some looking. Some of these areas were over 1,000 miles away. So many of them were at least a couple hundred miles away. So it was a big deal for these believers to make this journey to Jerusalem for these feast days. And I can imagine that if you were going there for that first feast day, which you were supposed to do if you're a male believer, if you're a male Jew, you were going to be there for that first feast day, the day of Passover. The next one was 50 days later. Would you go back home and then try to make it again? Or would you just probably just stay there in the city during that 50-day period and then after that Pentecost, head on home? I imagine most of the people there for that feast day were there at the day of Passover. Keep that in mind. So we have this great event that these 12, they spoke in tongues, this great miraculous event, the sound as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were, and I believe they were in the temple at that point. I believe there's records of the word where it talks about the temple being a house of God. It defines the temple as a house. And I think it makes more sense for them to be in the temple than it does for them to be in an upper room. It just, to me, it doesn't make sense. So anyways, here they are, this rushing mighty wind. And then you have these guys, it says they saw the tongues of fire. It doesn't say other people did. But here, these things are going on. And I imagine it went on for a period of time. It wasn't a 15-second thing, and then it was all over, and then so on. I imagine that these men, it says that in the record, it says that these various people from these different areas, many different dialects, languages, they heard these men speaking in their language. So that would have taken some time. There were only 12. So I imagine they were wandering around, maybe in the crowd. They were speaking in tongues. And it says that they were speaking the wonderful works of God. That's one of what it says in the scripture. Now, we don't have time to read all through this, and I recommend you do, this whole record of Acts chapter 2. But I imagine they were wandering around, perhaps. You know, perhaps Matthew walks over here, and he's over there with the Parthians, and he's speaking their language. Maybe Nathaniel's over here with the Medians, and if their language is different, he's speaking their language. And they're looking at him like, what? We understand everything you're saying. Aren't you a Galilean? What? And likewise, these other ones were probably, perhaps, wandering around doing their thing. But after this is over, there comes a point where the crowd in general, they all heard these Galileans speak in their own languages. And they were all bumfuzzled. That means astounded. They were amazed. Confused. That's a logical thing to see. Peter, in verse 14, he starts his explanation, starts this presentation. And this is the first time that Peter really has done this, gotten up in front of a crowd like this that perhaps was hostile. You know, 50 days ago, there were a lot of hostility going on in that city. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words." Listen to me. That's what he told them. I got something to say. Listen to me. Verse 22. We don't have time to read this whole record. I want to hit a few spots here. Verse 22. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know this." As you yourselves know. Y'all saw this guy doing these things. Remember? A couple months ago, he was doing these things. He was talking, healing, ministering. You saw this stuff. Raised Lazarus from the dead. "This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." Death couldn't hold him down. Verse 36. "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." The whole crux of what Peter shared was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was the culmination of the plan of God Almighty that was instituted way back when. It was spoken of in the Old Testament scriptures. But this man, Jesus, God has made both Lord and Christ. And you crucified him. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter gave them the answer. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." He brought them to this culmination, to this point, that their salvation lies in and with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had no ands, ifs, or buts about it. What happened after that? Did they listen? Verse 41. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So what a wonderful day that turned out to be. These men that were in this start of the day, I believe doing their thing, maybe praying, sharing the word, talking. Something happened that day, the day of Pentecost, something that was extraordinary, something that never before had happened again, or before or since. A very unique day in the annals of history. But the end result was about 3,000 believed the word that he shared with them and the other apostles, and they got born again. They literally received the Holy Spirit. Well, in the annals of history, there were men and women that had Holy Spirit. There were apostles. They had it. There were prophets. There were judges. There were kings, judges, other men and women. At times, certain periods of time throughout history, God gave them the Spirit to achieve a very specific job, a task, whatever. But now, for the first time in history, it was available for the average believer, the Joe Schmo. Just the average believer, someone that loved God, that wanted to respond to God's call, to the call, that the challenge that God places before people. And that call, and that is still available today. See, what this Holy Spirit enables a person to do, it enables them to carry out the works of Jesus Christ. Jesus, remember back in John 14, Jesus shared, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than that these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." He gave the answer back then. It's our privilege nowadays to continue to learn what that means and to carry it out. What does that mean for us today? Well, one of the things it means is here in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul shares, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." You see, the Lord Jesus isn't on this earth carrying out his mission anymore. That mission has been assigned to others, that same mission. The others would be us. We have the privilege, we have the responsibility, and we have the authority to carry out the works of Jesus Christ. So remember back when I started talking about if you have a job to do, you know, do you have a clear objective or goal? What am I supposed to do? Well, to carry out the works of Jesus, to carry out the works of Christ, to be an ambassador for him. Do we have thorough instructions on how to do the job? Well, we do. We have a written scripture. And we have the work of teachers and ministers within the body of Christ to help us along that goal. Do we have the skills to do the job? Well, we do. We have the ability. We all have the skills and abilities that are varied and useful to doing this as part of the body of Christ. One of the things that is available to us in our church is we have previous teachings that are recorded. There are some teachings that were done in the past that I'm gonna, at the very end, I'm going to put up here on the screen for your, in case you wanted to look them up. But there were a number of teachings that were done on the day of Pentecost. And back in 2024, Will did a series on 1 Corinthians, chapters 12, 13, and 14. And one of the things it talks about in that section of Scripture in 1 Corinthians is that we all have abilities and parts to play within the body of Christ. Sometimes those abilities overlap. Maybe mine is the same as yours in some regards. In other regards, they're very unique. You're a unique person within the body of Christ. You have abilities and skills and strengths and responsibilities to carry those out. So this leads me to the final part, the willingness and the desire to carry out the mission. See, that's my job to do it for me. That's your job to do it for you. No one can do it for you. You know, we each have the responsibility to carry out what God wants us to do. We each have to decide to respond to the call of God through Jesus. This Jesus of Nazareth, who's absolutely the Christ, to make him Lord and to follow what he would have you to do. As I said, we each must make him Lord and be willing to follow where he leads us. This Holy Spirit, which a person receives when they get born again, enables this mission. It's the final piece to be successful, and it's supplied by God Almighty and sent by his Son, Jesus Christ. So it's our privilege to learn, to grow, and to explore that calling, that mission, to carry it out in our day and time, first in our own lives. But remember, we are part of a collective. You're part of a group. You're not in this alone. We all get to learn and explore and grow in how we function with one another to carry out the works of Jesus Christ in our day and time. So I'll pray. So Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these records in your word that help us to see what the Lord Jesus Christ did, how he absolutely followed your will, how he absolutely carried out the works that you would have him to do. And he was such a faithful and apt and willing teacher of these men, these apostles and disciples, men and women, apostles and disciples that wanted to follow him. So Father, we thank you that we can continue to grow. We're not perfect, Father. We make mistakes, but we can be faithful, that we can be just continue to grow in our knowledge of how to do these things in our life. We thank you, Father, that we have a group, a household, a family to travel with through this journey. We thank you for your goodness to us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Compass Christian Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. For more information on how we are striving to follow Jesus together here in Louisville, Kentucky, check out our website, compasslou.org, where you can subscribe to our newsletter and view additional resources.